You know, for the past few weeks, we have been trying to get a grip on what God's desire for humanity really is. And we've concluded that Ephesians tells us. Ephesians says that we may comprehend what is the width and the length, the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. You see, love is not just a Christian message. It's the Christian message. Amen. And every person in your sphere of influence, every person in your circle of friends should know, needs to know, that God insists on loving every single individual that He's ever created. It don't matter who they are, and it don't matter what they've done. God loves them the same. In past weeks, we have heard God voicing His love for us. And so far, God has said things like, "My love for you is unprompted." God's love is not based on you acting right, living right, or looking right. Amen? No, God loves simply because He is love, because He is God, not because of something you've done or something you haven't done. God loves you. But God also has voiced to us that "my love is unreasonable." In human terms, God's love seems unreasonable. It doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, who loves people that dislike you? Who loves people who hate you? It seems unreasonable. It doesn't make sense. We've heard God voice, "My love for you is unending." In Jeremiah 31:3, God said to the prophet, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, a love that never stops." God's love has existed always, and God's love will always exist. We've heard God voice, "My love for you is unlimited." Since God Himself is beyond us, yet beside us, we also know that God's love is not only beyond us, it's also beside us. And because of the Holy Spirit in the believer, we also know that God's love is within us. We've heard God say, "My love for you is unchanging." Malachi said, or God told Malachi, "I am the Lord, I do not change." And that's great news. It's wonderful to know that because God Himself is unchanging, therefore His love is unchanging as well. In other words, with God, the honeymoon never ends. Amen? That's good news. God also has voiced that "my love for you is uncomplicated." God loved the world. God sent His Son that everyone who believes in Him would have eternal life. It's not that complicated. Amen? It's just that simple. We heard God voice that "my love for you is unconditional." Listen to me carefully, my friend. God says, "I see the ugly parts of you, and I'm staying." Amen? Hallelujah for that. So friends, listen, there is just no denying how much God loves you. I pray when you leave here today, you're leaving here knowing that your Creator, your God, our Heavenly Father, loves you beyond measure. But when? When did God's love for us begin? Let me give you a little analogy. We have a young couple who announces that a baby is on the way. We love to grow the church that way, by the way, young couples, young married couples. Amen. So the young couple announces the baby's on the way, and everyone says, "Man, it's going to change your life." But the fact is this, the changes have already begun. Think about it. At the first thought of having a child, you begin to look at yourself in a little bit of a different light. You're getting ready to be a parent. You're getting ready to be placed on you the responsibility of a child growing up in this world. Almost suddenly, you find that it's possible. It's possible to fall deeply in love with a tiny little human being that you've never even met yet. You begin to dream about things you're going to do with your child. You begin to dream of coaching your child in Little League. You begin to dream of taking a trip with your child to Disney World. You begin to dream of helping them with their homework, introducing them to Jesus, attending their high school athletic events, seeing them graduate high school, walking down the wedding aisle with them, and even spoiling their grandchildren. So where does a love like that begin? Where does such a powerful love come from? The answer is simple. You inherited it. You inherited it from your heavenly Father. Friend, you are made in the image of God who loves you even before you were born. That's the point of today's message. But his love is deeper than you and I could ever know. In our series thus far, I pray that you now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves you. But do you realize that he always has? Do you realize that God loved you even before you were born? Do you realize that God loved you before the world was created? Do you realize that God loved you before the foundation of time? Today, we're going to see just how God related to you and I before we were born. If you would like to join me in Psalm 139, that's on page 555 in the Bibles in front of you. I'm going to be sharing from Psalm 139, a psalm of David, and I'm going to begin in verse 13. Page 555, Psalm 139, verse 13, David writes, "For you, O Lord, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, O Lord, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts of me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you, O Lord." Did you know that before you were born, God knew your identity? He knew exactly who you'd be. Every now and then, I like to read from the Message translation of the Bible. The Message translation is a thought-for-thought type of translation. It's not word-for-word. It's not something that you can base your theology on. But it provides an interesting outlook on scripture verses. And so I want to share with you from the Message translation what verse 15 and 16 say. It says this, "O Lord, you know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life prepared before I lived one single day. When David wrote this psalm, he was expressing a truth about God, but he was also expressing a truth that he believed about himself. You see, it's very important for you to take a hard look at verse 16, because in verse 16, we find a word that is used in the Bible only here. The Hebrew word is the word golem. Golem. And golem in the Hebrew means embryo or little human. Golem is translated there in verse 16, my substance being yet unformed. See, as God was forming you in your mother's womb, he was watching over you in love. We know this because everything that God does, including the overseeing of an unborn child's development, is done in the love of God. He is love. He can't help it. But I want you to imagine another moment with me. Imagine a moment of being born, but in a very stressful situation. Mom begins to feel the contractions. Her water breaks. Contractions intensify. Mama, say amen. Mom tells Dad, go get the overnight bag quick. Mom waddles out to the car. Contractions intensify. Mama, say amen. Dad steps on the gas. And when he does, he looks, and the fuel gauge is almost on empty. He's got to stop for gas. After filling up, the contractions intensify. Mama, say amen. But they run into a traffic jam. And mama says, pull over. I'm getting ready to have this baby. The police arrive, and they help mom to have that baby right there in the back seat of the car. The baby's born healthy. And once they're settled in the hospital, mama's doing her coochie-coochie-coos. Amen. And she is apologizing to the baby for the rough delivery. But if that newborn could speak yet, he would open his eyes wide and he would say to his mama, oh, Mom, I'm fine. God has been loving on me since the moment I was conceived. For 9 months now, I have been bathing in the love of God. Now, I don't know if infants are capable of those kind of thoughts, but those words ring true in my spirit because I know that God sees and he loves infants in the womb. From the moment of conception, God knows your human identity. But before you were born, God also knew your incredible complexity. Again, from the message in verse 13 and 14, it's translated this way, oh Lord, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, Almighty God. You sure are amazing. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship you. I adore you. What a creation you've made. Modern technology is pretty amazing, isn't it? Did you know that you can see now images of your child developing in 3D? Not only in 3D, but also in 4D. You can see your child developing in the womb. And there are studies at Yale University that reveal videos and photos of the very first cell division of an embryo. The very first division. It also shows the development of a beating heart in about 25 days. It shows arms and hands being developed around 32 days. Those studies reveal eyes and nose at only about 52 days. It's quite amazing. Now, we have a lot of girls named Olivia here today. If your name is Olivia, raise your hand. She's back in the back. Where's that Olivia? Where are you at? Only just one. Okay. Well, this is not this Olivia, but this is another Olivia I want to introduce you to. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
This is Olivia. Though she has yet to greet the outside world, she has already completed an amazing journey. This is the moment that life begins. A new human being has come into existence. At fertilization, her gender, ethnicity, hair color, eye color, and countless traits are already determined. She begins to implant in the uterus about 1 week after fertilization. Her cells organize into what we call an embryo. At 3 weeks and 1 day, just 22 days after fertilization, Olivia's heartbeat can be detected. The buds of her arms and legs appear by 4 weeks. She begins to move between 5 and 6 weeks with both spontaneous and reflexive movements. At 6 weeks from fertilization, her brain activity can be recorded and bone formation begins. She can bring her hands together at 7.5 weeks and separate fingers and toes emerge. She can also begin to hiccup. At the beginning of the 9th week, Olivia will have grown from a single cell into nearly 1 billion cells, and she is now called a fetus. She will suck her thumb and swallow, grasp an object, touch her face, sigh, and stretch. At 11 weeks, she is playing in the womb, moving her body, and exploring her environment. Her taste bud cells have matured by week 12, but are still scattered throughout her mouth. Her mother will first sense Olivia's movements between 14 and 18 weeks, an event called quickening. Beginning at 18 weeks, ultrasounds show speaking movements in her voice box. Around 20 weeks, with a lot of help, babies have survived outside the womb. At 27 weeks, her eyes are responding to light. She can recognize her parents' voices and will even recognize lullabies and stories. Olivia has gone on an amazing journey during these last 9 months. She will soon signal to her mother that it is time for delivery and greet the outside world.
An amazing God we serve that can do that in the mother's womb. Now, you know from your high school biology class that every living creature is made up of microscopic cells that are so small that my thumbnail has about 1 million cells in it. Think about that. 1 million cells. And each one of those 1 million cells in my thumbnail, there is an estimated 1 trillion tiny molecules of atoms. So in other words, every cell in our body is like a microcosm. It's a micro universe in itself, created by Almighty God. You put all those cells together and you have what we call a living creature. Each cell has its own function. Each one works on a divine timetable, and it knows when it's time to grow. It knows when it's time to divide. It even knows when it's time to die. every minute of every day, some 3 billion cells in the body die. And about the same number are created to take their place. Did you know that the human body has over 1 million cells? Did you know that there are 1 million cells in a square inch of human skin? Did you know that there are 30 billion cells in the brain? Some of you have less. There are billions of red blood cells coursing through our veins. Billions. Of course, David didn't know anything about that Yale study. He didn't know anything about microscopic cells, but one thing David knew was that God was the one who formed his inward parts and marvelously and wonderfully made him in his mother's womb. Woo! Friend, everything God does, including your identity, including your complexity, is driven and guided by the love of God. It is infinite for you and for me. But before you were born, God also knew your individuality. Verse 8:16 tells us, "You, God, saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book, every moment laid out before a single moment had passed." Here, David was speaking about how truly unique he was, even in the womb. From the very beginning, God knew David and ordained what his life was to be. The prophet Jeremiah also considered God's hand on him, get this, before he was in the mother's womb. Jeremiah considered what he was before. Before he was even in his mother's womb. The Lord said to me, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. Before you were born, I ordained you. I appointed you to be a prophet to all the nations." Job. Everybody knows Job. Job also concluded that all human life begins in the womb, saying, "Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one who fashioned us all in the womb?" See, these Bible writers clearly understood that it was God who begins the creation of a human being and not the moment of birth. Creation begins not with a baby's first breath, but at the time that God chooses when he starts shaping and molding the new person that the unique individual would be. That moment is what we call conception. You are a person even before conception. Science even supports this principle, that a child is fully human before birth just as much as he is after birth. He's a person. In the book, The Case for Life, that statement is summarized with these words. In short, you didn't come from an embryo. You once were an embryo. There's a difference. You began as a human being, and you will remain so until the day you die. You simply lacked maturity at that early stage in your life, but you are human nonetheless. All right, Brother Bill, I get it. What's your point? My point is this. God knew you, and God loved you before you were born. before you were born. He loved you as he began to prepare you for this world in the beauty of human pregnancy. He knew you and he loved you. And all along, God had a life for you, a purpose prepared for you. And listen to me carefully, my friend. Part of that purpose occurs here in this life. God wants you to come into a relationship with himself through the Savior he provided. See, Jesus went to the cross for one primary reason. And that was to demonstrate to you and to me that God loves us even while we were still sinners. To forever symbolize the love of God that was demonstrated on the cross, our Lord and Savior Jesus ordained a memorial that we as Christians are called to observe. It's called the Lord's Supper. Now, the first part of this memorial is a reminder that Jesus yielded his body to be crucified to secure payment for your sins and mine. Let us forever be thankful, y'all, that no one has to live. No one has to leave this earth under the burden of their sin unless they choose to. They don't have to. If we will place our faith in his completed work on the cross, listen to me. His sacrifice becomes our payment for sin. Friends, in front of you, you'll find a little cup with some elements of the Lord's Supper. And we encourage you all to participate in this. And if you would, lift that up if you have that, because we have extras that our gentlemen would pass out. Does everybody have one? Everybody got one? Just want to make sure. Miss Dana needs one, brother. Anybody else? Over here in the middle too, Brother Braylon. Here, I'm going to throw mine to you. Ready? Catch. I'm only kidding. Rhett was jumping up. He's ready to get that. Right over here, Brother Braylon. There you go. Everybody with me? Uh-oh. Miss Brandy, Miss Candace also, Brother Tim, Hannah Grace. We got two right here. There's one beside you too, Lucas. Tim and Miss Karen. Okay. Everybody good? If you'll turn that cup over and just peel back the bottom, you'll find that there's a little piece of unleavened bread in the bottom, an unleavened bread cracker in that. And I just want to share with you what the Lord Jesus himself said about this bread and this ordinance that we now partake of. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, the Bible says that Jesus took bread, he gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, Brother Lucas McGee is going to offer up a prayer of thanksgiving for the body of Christ that was given for you and for me. Brother Lucas.
Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, thank you for loving us. Yes. Loving us so much that you sent your Son to die for us, dear Lord. Help us to examine ourselves and look deep, dear Lord, and not see this bread as its unleavened bread, but to see it as the body that was given and beaten for us, dear Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lucas. Let's partake together. Now, if you would, flip that over. And very carefully, we don't want to get on your pretty clothes. If you would, just kind of peel back that juice cup there. Because I'm going to tell you about the second part of this memorial now. And it's a reminder, first of all, about the old covenant that required the blood of countless spotless animals. Over and over and over again, the nation of God had to sacrifice these animals to cover their sin with their blood, with the animal's blood. However, the new covenant requires the blood of only one sinless lamb. It is the Lamb of God. His name is Jesus. Amen. See, the Bible tells us that there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And Jesus shed his blood for you. Therefore, the forgiveness and the salvation that Christ offers is yours. It's yours. If you will only accept it and trust in his blood that was shed for you. He says so much in verse 20 of Luke 22. Likewise, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Brother Chris Phillips is going to share a prayer of thanksgiving for the blood of Christ. Brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God, just to thank you for the shedding of your blood for our sins, Lord God. And Father, we know that the Bible says that without this shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
That's right.
So Father, we just thank you for the blood that when it ran red, Lord God, it cleansed us white as snow.
Whew.
And Father, also, Lord, your blood, that it transforms us when applied from condemned to redeemed.
Yes.
So Father, we are thankful for that. We are thanking you for loving us. In Christ's name we pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Chris. Let's partake together. Now, as we look back to what I titled this message, we have to ask ourselves a question. What was it that preceded God's love for you? What came before God's love for you? The answer is nothing. Nothing preceded God's love for you. As eternal as God's love is for your future, is as eternal as his love has ever been. His infinite knowledge, our Heavenly Father, he always knew you were coming. And listen to me, because he knew you were coming, he loved you for it. Such love deserves to be received, wouldn't you say? Will you? Have you received the love of God that was made manifest for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? I'm going to pray with you, and I pray that your decision is to receive what your Maker has provided. As our praise team comes forward, let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your incredible, infinite, amazing love. As we sang about it earlier, amazing love. How could it be that you, my Savior, would die for me? It is truly amazing love, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to quicken each person's heart here this morning, that they would walk out of here knowing that they know that they have received the gift of your love that was offered through the sacrifice of your only begotten Son. Father, decisions should be made to receive your love. But Lord, we also know that your love conquers and covers all the other burdens that we carry on this earth. So, Father, this altar is likewise open, not only for a decision to receive your love, but a decision to walk in your love as we walk through the challenges and the burdens and the difficulties of this life. Father, whatever the burden is, whatever the prayer need may be, Father, I pray that we would all make great use of this opportunity to pray and ask for your love to cover the multitude of our burdens. God, we love you today, and we thank you for first loving us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.